Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited about those that are gathering with us on TV and on radio all across the nation and the world. We have so much to share and so much to talk about, and we feel honored and privileged to have this time with you. We're doing our best to keep the conversation light, because let me tell you, the world is getting darker and darker, but God's light, believe me, shines into the darkness. When you open the window, darkness doesn't come into the light. It's the light that's going out into the darkness.
That's right.
And so you want to remember that as we try to continue to keep our conversation focused always on the Lord and lifting Him up. We are going to be continuing the conversation we left in the first program regarding the religious spirit. We're also going to be talking about today The Harvest, a book written by Rick Joyner, a prophetic vision that he had received basically over 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be so encouraging because we're going to talk about the magnitude. What does that mean? There's going to be a huge ingathering of souls. What does that look like? And what are we going to be doing? And we have been praying for this, and you have been praying for this too. When you hear in detail some of the things that the Lord showed Rick, you are going to be so encouraged, and it's actually going to, I believe, motivate you and inspire you to pray to see that day come even sooner than when God has slated it for it to come. So it's just so encouraging. I can't wait to get to that. But before we do, we're going to continue talking about the religious spirit, uncovering and overcoming this deceptive spirit, because it's deceiving in nature. It has a form of godliness. It looks religious. It looks right. But when you uncover it and take the lid off of that thing, it's nothing but tradition. It's rooted in the strength of man. It has no power. It looks godly, but you can't find God in it. And you can be so deceived. And it's so easy these days to see so much religion. But you got to ask yourself, how much of what I am doing that I call God, I call Jesus, I call what God's called us to be as a Christian, how much of that is actually Bible based on God? Or how much of that really is founded in the traditions of man? Mm-hmm. Or my ideas of what the Bible says? I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, the Bible says, and I'm like, no, that's not in the Bible. I don't know who said that, but I, you know, or it's always, yeah, I say, well, where, you know, where is that? And they don't, you know, they can't tell you. And, but they're come up with ideas that are not in the Bible, just not Bible. And but they say the Bible says, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's like, no, that's probably a tradition or something that you heard, and people just keep repeating it, so you thought maybe it was the Bible, but it's not really the Bible.
Yeah.
But they're basing their life on it and speaking as if it's truth, and it's not truth. It's not.
That's what's so huge about why we have to be in the Word, and we have to know the God of the Word, because just because somebody throws out a scripture or says a name of a scripture or a verse and we don't know it, we're not going to have that understanding of saying, hey, is that applicable? Is that really biblical? Or are they using it out of context?
Right. Mm-hmm. Anytime you raise something else over God's word, it's like, oh, no, that's not going to work. But we're talking about self-righteousness. And the self-righteousness is designed as having or showing an exaggerated awareness of one's own virtuousness. When you think about that, you're like, really? Does that happen? Like, yes, of course it happens. Yes. Embarrassingly enough. I mean, it's you look at it and say, wow, yeah, it happens. And, you know, the Bible says, you know, do you not remember where you were when you were called? I mean, hello, did you forget? Did you know what you were doing?
Say that again.
Say what again? That definition?
Yeah, it's powerful.
Having or showing an exaggerated awareness of one's own virtuousness. Another way it's defined as confident of one's own righteousness. Confident. Mm. Not confident what God did. Not confident on, you know, in the blood. Not confident in the cross, right? But confident of one owns righteousness, especially when smugly and moralistically intolerant of the opinions and behaviors of others. Come on. Wow. We've seen that.
Sounds like the Pharisees, man.
Well, this is the Pharisees. This is absolutely the Pharisees, because this is Matthew 9, you know, where we discuss where, you know, here Jesus is eating with tax collectors and eating with sinners, and the first question that the Pharisees have is, why does Jesus eat with them? Why does your teacher eat with these people? Does he know who they are? I think about the woman who was washing Jesus' feet, and the thing that the Pharisee was thinking, does he even know who's at his feet? Would he even let her touch him? And it's his own self-righteousness. But it's not just the Pharisees. You got to ask yourself, are you a Pharisee?
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought that? Have you elevated yourself higher than somebody else because maybe you've known God more? Maybe because you know more of the Bible, you think, than others? Maybe because you went to a Bible college? Maybe you're in ministry? Maybe because now, since you're not praying for 5 minutes anymore like you used to, but now since you can pray for a full 20 minutes now, maybe you have more confidence and think that maybe you're more righteous. Maybe because you've actually, for the first time, you've able to read the whole Bible cover to cover. You read it. You labored through Leviticus. You made sure that you read every law. You labored, and now since you've read it cover to cover, now you feel like you've attained something. Mm-hmm. You reached a level, quote unquote, in Christianity that is, you're not a mere disciple now. You're a whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you look down at somebody else, or you look at someone's a zeal and passion for the Lord, and you say, oh, that's just passion. Just give it a little. They haven't been tested yet. They have. It's like, why are you dissing that person? Why are you looking down at them? Why are you looking to throw water on that fire? Yeah, sure, it may not be perfect, and sure, you know, they haven't grown, you know, in grace and where they may need to be, maybe, or where God would like them to be, rather. But, you know, it's God.
Mm-hmm.
It's God, and you got to be careful not to throw out, you know, the baby with the bathwater, if you will. So many of these move of God's, God have been, young people have been used. And it's so amazing how some of the folks that you'll see this, some of the biggest critics of revival are those that have been attacked with a religious spirit, attacking the new thing that God is doing. But God used a lot of young people during the Welsh revival. He used a lot of people during the Azusa Street revival. And you're going to find out in the harvest that God's going to use a lot of young people in this last day huge coming, you know, harvest that's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they say some of the greatest evangelists are going to be preteens. So get ready.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
We don't want to judge them. We don't want to criticize them. And we don't want to think because we have been reading the Bible more that we're better than them in any kind of way. And gosh, you know, this is something that just has to be dealt with and has to go. And I look at what Jesus told the Pharisees. He says, but go and learn. Go and learn what it means that I desire mercy and not sacrifice.
Mm.
You know, the mercy of God is a beautiful thing. The mercy of God is not getting what we deserve. We deserve X, Y, Z. And that's our punishment. You know, we're supposed to do 50 years of time. But maybe we serve no time. Maybe we serve 5 years of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just an example, you know. And that's mercy. Sometimes people think that mercy is, well, I don't get anything. I get scot-free. No, mercy is that, hey, just, you know, your punishment wasn't as harsh as what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, you may have to serve 5 years,
yeah.
Right? But you were supposed to serve 100 years. So that's mercy. Be happy. Enjoy it. You know, celebrate it. But we have to learn about mercy. God's not always interested in sacrifice because, let me think. He was the ultimate sacrifice. There's no amount of sacrificing. There's no amount of us doing, quote unquote, that's going to get us to earn anything or pay anything in God.
Mm-hmm.
There are no points for us to get by doing that. There's no special, you know, kudos. There's not special seating in heaven. You don't get any kind of, you know, roped section off for that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you've earned something. And we have to remember, it's like, you know, lower still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John, when I think about what you're saying as far as those different ways of how religious spirit can manifest itself, I think about what Paul said. It's just that scripture I was talking about earlier, and he says in Romans 12, he says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you," he says, "do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." And it's like, that's that constant perspective that we have to have, that remember, it's God that brought us to himself. It's God that gave us the ability to say, like you're saying, I want to be able to pray more. I want to know the Bible. And it's all of a sudden, but that religious spirit comes in and just says, oh, now look what I can do. And it just twists that.
Yeah. How many times have people watched the television program, they watch these talk shows, and they look at people's lives that are being destroyed, mm-hmm. and they say, thank God I'm not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Their value of who they are mm-hmm. makes them, you know what I'm saying, look at someone's atrocity and thing they went through.
Right.
Listen, when I first came to the Lord, what, 15, 20 years ago, whatever it was, and I was in my 20s, that's how I'd feel better. I look at that and say, oh, wow, at least my life's not that bad. Right. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible. But you know what? Does that still happen in your life? Are you still looking at people and looking at their tragedies and their failures and then getting a self-value? The Bible says those who compare themselves by themselves are not wise. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be comparing yourself to anybody. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome or corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen," right? Well, we shouldn't be having silent attacks or thoughts or criticisms of people, but in fact, we should allow, when we get attacked with criticism, to use it as an opportunity to intercede for somebody. Yeah, we may see something that's not right in someone's life. It's not that we wink at it or whatever, but the question is, are you called to judge it? You know, mm-hmm. do you have spiritual authority in that person's life? Or is that person submitted to you where maybe you're supposed to mentor them or speak to them about it or help disciple them? It's so amazing how many times people are so open to judge and criticize somebody, but at the same time, not just their place. But they'll criticize and judge for 10 hours, but won't spend them 10 hours praying for them, won't spend them 10 hours discipling them, won't spend them 10 hours trying to help them overcome that. And that's how you know you have a religious spirit. If you're more easily prone to judge somebody than you are to pray for them,
mm-hmm.
or you spent more time putting your words on them than you have interceding and standing in the gap for them, then you say, well, this is a religious spirit. Because before I should open my mouth to say anything against them, I should ask myself, did I pray for them?
Wow.
Am I interceding for them? Have I blessed them that they can overcome this issue in their life, which ultimately is between them and the Lord anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And since I don't have a heaven or hell to put them in, and I didn't go on the cross, I should keep my mouth off of it. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
How do you react when your spouse irritates you? You could let bitterness build up, but on today's Focus on the Family Minute, Leslie Vernick suggests a different response.
I had a client whose husband was a smoker, and she thought he had quit, and he did, but he sort of snuck back, and he was deceiving her, and she was very angry, and so here he's acting wrong. He lied to me, and he's smoking. And so how do I act right? And so I suggested to her that one of the gifts she could give him was the gift of acceptance, that she's accepting that he's a non-finished human being yet, that he's still in the process of change, that he has some bad habits that you wish he didn't have, but you are going to accept that, not just acknowledge it. What I mean by accepting it is that you are going to accept that he's struggling with something that you don't like, and you're not going to resent him for it. That's a gift of love, to be able to do that and say, I don't like that you smoke, I wish you didn't, but I am not going to resent you or nag you about it anymore.
You'll hear more practical insights from Leslie Vernick today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it. When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen,
right.
The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us.
Yeah.
So we can continue to be that trumpet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com, and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page. And you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch.
Mm-hmm.
That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're just wrapping up our conversation on the religious spirit and how we can uncover it and overcome it, mm-hmm. so that we can be free. But the fact of the matter is that we have no room to judge. You know, we have all sinned, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and there's no one righteous, right? The Bible says, no, mm-hmm. not one.
Not a one.
Not one. So none of us is sinless, and we can never take pride in self-righteousness, but this happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus and put our eyes on ourselves. And I believe one of the keys to victory is put your eyes back on Jesus. Put your eyes back on the cross. Walk in a place of humility and dependency, and really live constant in a continual understanding and awareness that it's all about what Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to earn a self-righteousness place, a right standing with God. That's what righteousness is, right standing with God. And all we do is enjoy what Jesus already did for us, and help others to be free themselves. That's how we're going to make it through this thing. So continue to pray as we're praying. No religious spirit, no traces, none of it in our lives, so we can be totally free and help others to be free as well. Well, you know, Steve, I heard something interesting today before we get to talking about The Harvest, the book written by Rick Joyner regarding the vision that he saw. I had the opportunity to speak to Christian this weekend, and I was informed of some information, Pat, that I think you are going to be quite, I don't think shocked, flabbergasted, appalled, surprised. I don't think those words would, I'm trying to grasp, how do I communicate? Because I don't know if you're aware, this is breaking tech news.
No, I'm on pins and needles. What
I don't
happened?
Know, Steve, if you knew, but I had this time not. To talk with Christian. It's amazing
share,
what you do
please.
When you speak to the young people.
They're very forthcoming.
They're forthcoming. They share information that their parents, like Chris didn't share with us.
Chris, is this true?
But Pat, how
Perfect,
many?
We'll find out.
Pat, how many dogs do you have in your house?
I'm just
wondering how many.
I have two. Unfortunately,
two. Okay, I have two.
Mm-hmm.
One dog is enough.
You had three.
Well, one dog is enough. I never had
We're
three.
We're still trying to find out what happened to this other one.
I never had three at one time. Two dogs, you know, one dog is enough, but two dogs in the house, that's plenty.
Sure.
But it's my understanding that
Chris
not
right
only
now.
Has two dogs.
Two pugs now.
Do you know that there's a third dog coming to Chris's home? Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Would you like to know the type of dog?
Chris,
because
I remember us talking about the fullness of the house, and we're
well. I heard the fullness of the house.
Do you need a mic?
Young people. I mean, there's so many things going on.
He doesn't need a mic. A third dog.
Now he has. Is it two pugs? Started out with one pug.
Start out with one.
Then they had to have a second one because I think it was
that beat up on yours.
I think it was the birthday.
Of course, it was a surprise. He didn't know anything about it.
Oh, right, right. It was a surprise.
Allegedly.
Reportedly.
Right. Interesting. Mum's the word over there.
So now he's out looking. Well, what kind of dog is this?
Oh, get ready. A one of a kind, special edition. The way Christian was describing
it.
It's always a special edition.
Yeah.
It's always worth $5,000. I mean, just.
Yes.
Guess what Chris is bringing to the home.
I can imagine.
Not a poodle, is it?
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, first.
Doberman.
No, first class. A German Shepherd.
Oh, no. Are you
a German Shepherd. I mean, now, if you've seen a German Shepherd before, I mean, if you know about German Shepherds.
Mm-hmm. I know about German Shepherds.
Listen. When they look at you, hair just flies off of them. When they look at you,
their
you
nickname
just,
is Shed Shepherds.
Oh, Shed Shepherds. Yeah, Shed Purse.
Shed Purse.
I see.
That's how they should be called.
I think you're right. So just so that you know, Chris, this would be the third dog.
Third. Wow. I'm shocked.
Are you shocked?
Chris,
I'm beside myself.
No, he's not even making eye contact.
He's looking down, focusing on the computer. He is ducking behind the
normally
counter.
He's working.
Oh, no, there he is.
Normally, not even sticking that out.
Normally, he's working in the booth for some reason.
Maybe
the head is buried on the.
Nothing.
I don't know what's on the floor.
There you are.
I don't know
right.
what could be on the floor down there, but.
I don't know.
But wow. Wow. Well, no, we don't hear anything. I just thought I wanted to share that with you.
Chris, we are praying for you.
A third dog coming.
Unbelievable.
Christian, I know this is a happy moment for you. This is a happy moment for you, but third dog, man.
So who's responsible for feeding him?
Well, hey, we don't even want... Listen, there was one dog that
who's
had...
Who's going to clean up after it?
Well, all I know is that when I drive down a certain street, I'm going to be looking. There's a certain street in that area that we release dogs. If I see a German Shepherd, if I see one, I'm going to bring him back.
He just thinks he's seen deposits in his yard.
Oh.
Wait till this thing grows up.
Well, hopefully we can have a picture of... He's smiling now. Hopefully we can have a picture of this shepherd for you. But this would be the third. And if, listen, if you're listening today and you feel like you want to give up a dog, we know someone who is kind-hearted to animals.
Yes, they are. When animals, you have, animal-friendly.
When you have three. But
they've got room.
When you have three, what's one more? I mean, just.
Or, sure. Or seven or eight. Dude,
why not?
Okay. Well, why not? Well, back to the harvest. I'm sorry. I just had to you know, share that with you because I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I'll be in prayer.
Chris is by the way, Chris is ducking again.
Well, he's back.
Oh, and he's back. Okay. All right.
Okay. So, Harvest, Rick Joyner's book, Vision, on the last day gathering of souls. If you haven't got the book, pick up the book. There's many different editions. We all have different editions here. But the most recent one is a 25-year anniversary. And why this is so important is because, one, the Lord gave him this vision about the end gathering of souls, but also much of this prophetic word, prophetic vision has already come to pass. But yet there's still more that is unfolding. And we're going to be talking about a chapter that has different titles in it, depending on the book. But basically, one of the chapters is called The Magnitude of the Harvest. And this is what basically our conversation is going to be about, because we're going to be so you're going to be so encouraged when you hear this. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that are going to be going on, and so many people are going to be coming to the Lord. It's going to change society. It's going to change cities. It's going to change regions, parts of this nation. People are going to be going after God the entire time. Mm-hmm. And it just gets me to think about some of the great awakenings that have happened all over the world. It's about to happen, and I'm like, I'm rubbing my hands together, man. I'm looking forward to it. Steve's going to lead us in this conversation. Yeah. Steve, talk to us and share with us as we kind of break this down and talk a little bit about it.
Well, I've been so encouraged just as we've been really diving into the different sections of this book. And we were talking about this specific chapter over the weekend. And when I really began looking into this, you know, a lot of times it's like we've been praying for the harvest. We've been praying for the harvest, you know, talking about the scripture and the word. It says the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth. And it's like when you really begin to think about it and you're like, okay, what does that look like? Can you really, like, sometimes it's just like you just can't picture it. You just can't think about it. Like you just can't, like, I don't know. I really can't visualize it.
You don't have a grid for it, maybe.
And it's like when you read this chapter, every sentence is wow, wow, wow. And it's like it gives you a grid. And it really is like it's exciting. And when I look at this, he's basically got a paragraph where he says basically it's called the ingathering. And I just best thing to do is just to read this. He says, congregations of less than 100 will be adding 1,000 believers a week for a period of time. Meetings which begin spontaneously will stir entire cities, continuing until they fill the largest stadium night after night. Previous popular sporting events will be abandoned in many regions for lack of interest. Whole towns with populations of thousands will swarm upon neighboring towns to evangelize them.
Wow.
And I think about that, and it's like, can you imagine a whole city literally moving in the grace of God in unity under the glory of God and saying, let's go over to that next town and tell them about Jesus?
How awesome is that?
And that is what is just really blowing me away. And he continues and he says, the news media will be dominated by the harvest until it has fanned the flames throughout the world. He says, news teams will be following apostles like national leaders, recording great miracles, which will be shown with unabashed enthusiasm. Some of these individual broadcasts will result in more conversions than Christian networks have seen during their entire existence. And he goes on to say it's not in
nothing negative about that.
It's just highlighting the movement and the exponential growth of the kingdom of God and what he's doing. Large cities will experience periods of almost zero crime as their populations come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit as the light of the church drives darkness from entire regions.
Wow.
And it just blows me away because when you look in the Word of God, it talks about that the glory of the Lord in its coming days will be greater than the former, the latter. It's basically saying what God is about to do, greater than Pentecost, greater than the first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening, Azusa Street. And it's like, this is what we've been praying for. Mm-hmm. And it's like to begin to actually visualize it. It's powerful.
This is exciting. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we're going to continue to talk about what this looks like and the magnitude of the harvest. It's nothing like you've ever probably ever thought or imagined. people are going to be coming to Jesus by the droves, and it's going to be beautiful. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us. Mm-hmm. He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, mm-hmm. but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy, but I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. John, do you know the VFNTV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFNTV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFNTV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news, you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFNTV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. We did get some more clarification on the shepherd, but we are not going to make that known right now. We're going to let Steve continue with us.
I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Jim.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks. Don't worry. Jimmy. That's for Elijah. My name is Jimmy.
Jimmy.
But
nice to meet you.
Thank you. We're going to continue with the harvest. Talk to us, Steve. Tell us what else is in there.
Well, like I said, I'm reading this, and it is really continuing just blowing me away. He says, pornography, prostitution, illegal drugs, abortion, and drunkenness will cease to exist in many areas without the passage of a single law. Large factories and businesses will be shut down for a time so their employees can attend special meetings. Whole nations will give themselves to periods of prayer and fasting, causing the flames of revival to grow even hotter. And it's just continuing to just blow my mind as you're really seeing. It's just like, just to see the visualization, it begins to really give you that fuel to the fire to begin to say, hey, what can I pray for? What can I pray for? And it's just like you can really see it, and you know, the eyes of your heart, and just God's going to do it.
Yeah, although he doesn't say it in this chapter, it really sounds like an awakening, because you know when we talked about World on Fire with Robert Evans, mm-hmm. that's exactly the things that were happening during in Welsh. I mean, in Wales they shut down the entire businesses. I mean, the people were having prayer meetings all hours of the night, all hours of the day. Coal miners would come on out and hear messages before they went, you know, to work. I mean, it was mm-hmm. just amazing.
Yeah. And it makes me think of, too, the Second Great Awakening that really just took over the whole East Coast. And you think about Jonathan Edwards and just the mighty men and women of God that were just hungry for a movement of God. They talked about when they traveled, they would literally go from city to city, and you just hear people just praising God and just sharing the word of God out in public and just with everybody and anybody that they could, because God was just moving so mightily, so powerful. And it's just like God wants to do it again, and he's going to do it again. And he continues on, and he says, and this is really exciting. He says, some churches will begin dividing every few months, not because of conflicts, but because their growth is so great, they must keep the size down to what is manageable, with each split resulting in the new birth of new congregations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like...
a rapid church planting movement that keeps birthing. That is exciting. That is absolutely exciting.
And he continues on. He says, street gangs will be sending Bibles and gifts to one another, and whole prisons will become churches, which will give the body of Christ some of its greatest teachers.
That's exciting. I think about when Francis Chan, we did a segment of Francis Chan going into the prisons because that's something the Lord laid on his heart. Because he wanted to be able to see, he says, the greatest teachers are going to come out of the prisons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think what you had said before in a previous program of just being so excited, because what God is going to do in this next coming move, it's not going to be like those one or two or just those great names. It's going to be everybody. And the Holy Spirit is just going to move so powerfully upon not just everybody, but you're going to see children, teenagers, preteens, and he talks about that. And this is... so exciting. He says, one of the most extraordinary characteristics of the harvest will be the youthfulness. Teenagers will be the backbone of the revival. Preteens will be some of the greatest evangelists. He says, young children will cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. And this is powerful. Some will actually take dominion over entire hospitals and mental institutions, healing every patient in the building by simply laying hands on the building.
Wow. You know, God showed this to us. This is like such confirmation, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're hearing in concert. But remember when I talked about the dream that I had where we're inside of a huge auditorium, and all of a sudden this young girl gets up, mm-hmm. and you can tell, you know, in the dream I knew she was a young believer, mm-hmm. and she just gets her Bible, she gets her journal, and she starts sharing for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, you know, she starts praying for people. And I'm watching and I'm saying, oh, well, look, that's nice. And look at this young person. And, you know, and she's praying. And a couple people now are being touched by the Lord. And some have fallen to the ground. And I go, wow, that's encouraging. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, thumbs up type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden she gets to this one person. And... I'm looking from an angle perspective, I guess a side view, if you will, a side camera view. She's in the front, and I'm seeing on the right side of the screen, if you're looking at the screen, just the folks that are sitting in the chairs. This man standing up, and she lays her hands on him, and all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit just mowed down a bunch of people like dominoes. And for the first time, I was able to see how big this, because it was dark. Mm-hmm. The camera panned and went all the way to the back of the room. Just mow these people down. I go, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And in this dream, I'm literally kind of like standing behind these two men. They look like they were broadcasters, and they're giving commentary on what's happening. And they're kind of bantering back and forth, and I'm listening to them. And they said, yeah, this is how it's going to be. This is how we're going to train them. They're going to come, the young people. They're going to share a little bit about their abiding time, and then we're going to release them to pray, and God's going to do it. But this is how we're going to train them. And so God was showing us for some time now, this is exactly what's going to be happening. Get ready, because these young people are going to be let loose and they're going to be used very, very mightily by God.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
And in that too, it's like, it doesn't just stop there. And that's the exciting thing. And, you know, we've been talking so much too in recent conversations about the persecution. And it's just like the preparation, the things that are going to happen in midst of this, while this harvest is going on. And he continues to talk about it, and he says that, you know, we must prepare. And he's basically talking about the fact that when you have a move of God, you have a movement of light, a movement of God, and you can't neglect that there's going to be a move of darkness, that the devil's going to come
at the same time,
at the exact same time, because the devil is going to do everything he can, because, it's, you know, the word says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's so much of a refreshing paradigm and a reality that you have to have. And it's just like when you have a great victory for the kingdom, don't all of a sudden throw all your armor off and question why all of a sudden is Satan just attacking me from every which way? Because he now is trying to get that ground back. Mm-hmm. And he talks about it, and he says that large, even some world-class cities will be under almost complete dominion of the Lord. But at the same time, others will be almost completely in the grip of an evil even more terrible that we can even comprehend. And he says, we must be prepared for this conflict. There will be many martyrs during the harvest. In places, the church will almost be completely wiped out. But the lives of these martyrs will be the seeds for a harvest in that same place. The places where the enemy makes his most powerful attacks are the very places where some of the greatest advances the gospel will be made. And I love what you had said earlier, because that's what he talks about, because you got to think about the reality. And it's just like, I never thought about this until I read this, is that when you look at light and you shine light and it's dark outside and you open up your window, light shines into the darkness. Darkness does not come into your house. The only time that darkness will come in is if you turn your light off, if you turn it out. And all the devil wants to do, he's going to come against you in every which way to get you to turn your light out. Mm-hmm. And the most powerful thing is to think about it, is that how God is going to move in such an awesome way is just to simply bring up his name, talk about what he's done, talk about the testimony of what he's done in your life, is going to be such a great and bold light that's going to cause the darkness to leave.
Wow, that's very powerful.
You know, is there anything that's been sticking out to you, Pat, as you've been like reading, just thinking about just the excitement of this?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's very encouraging. It's very sobering, because you got to be, you know, it's exciting to hear all the awesome things that God's going to be doing in the coming days. But we cannot let our guard down. We got to pay attention to that darkness, because I can remember times, you know, some of the greatest victories I've had in my spiritual walk with God, right on the heels of that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been these major attacks at the same time. So we cannot be unaware of that.
Yeah.
And pay attention.
You can't live ignorantly and think, oh, this is just going to be...
Don't be naive, basically.
Yeah. Heaven on earth, if you will. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful time. But we've been talking about, it's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times. And it sometimes, if you don't have a grid for this, you're wondering, really? You know, and the grid, this is nowhere near in comparison, because what I sense and what Rick is sharing and what others have shared and what we've seen and what we've talked about... is this is going to be on a very large, mass, huge scale. Mm-hmm. You know,
the world.
Billion souls. You know, billion souls are going to be coming in. But we experienced, some of us experienced, the Brownsville Revival. And although we're not talking about a billion souls, there was a period, a season of my life for sure during that time that every single thing was focused on this move of God every single night. It was not a chore, a labor, or anything to be at the revival, because every day there was an opportunity to see miracles are happening in terms of people giving their lives, getting right with God, the presence of the Lord. I mean, you think, how many times can you preach a repentance message and it still be amazing and still see the same results? It's like, okay, I know what he's going to preach about, love of God or sin. You know, it's like, not going to be something new. And yet again, it was amazing.
It was the simple gospel.
Mm-hmm. It was the simple gospel, the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
And the nations of the world came. And when you're seeing people come from all over the world and all over the country to get a touch from God, to take back to their city and take back to their nation, it was absolutely amazing. But what we're getting ready to encounter, you know, get ready, put on your roller skates, because it's going to be huge. There's so many people going to be getting right with God. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's going to be regions of the country that we're going to get ready to discuss when we get back from the break that are going to be in total darkness. Mm. And so we have to be able to know that, hey, it's going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times, but many, many, many people are going to come into the kingdom of God. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I was at the hardware store.
Wait a second. Back up. Don't even go any further. What was that?
Say that again.
You were where?
You were what? You were lost?
What?
I was searching hardware on Amazon.
Exactly.
No, I actually was at the hardware store. And
were you lost? Looking for the barber?
This has to be interesting. He wanted excitement, right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
This has to be interesting.
Well, you know, it was. They have like tools and things there. Uh-huh. And stuff. And I'm walking around looking at, they have like aisles and numbers and, you know, things that I've never been to. Anyway, I just stand there somewhere in an aisle and call the store. Hey, I'm looking for screws. Where are you? Hello. Anybody here? And I'm having to find, actually, Pat and I went to the store sometime back, this hardware store. I needed a drill. I got out of the drill. And we come out, and he comes out, and he's the one that bought a drill.
I didn't get a drill.
And if you don't have a teenage son, you don't understand, but you will one day. Just plan in your future to get new tools.
Yeah, right.
And, that old thing? He's like, yes, that old thing. And so we walked out, and he came out with a real nice tool, drill and all that. But I realized later on, really? When I had to, I mean, that's a shame. There was a day that you actually screwed a screw in with the screwdriver.
With your hand.
I thought about it. I pondered that before this, and I thought, I'm going to go get that drill. And I didn't know. There's two things that Pat introduced to me. Well, other things we're not going to talk about. But yeah, the two things
is
totally.
Family program.
It's frozen. Oh, well, frozen food. I had no idea that you could actually, everything's frozen.
Frozen. Everything.
It don't matter what it is. I mean, I think his Bible
chicken
comes out of the freezer.
Anything. Just
before he abides
in
the morning, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer and puts it in the microwave.
It's defrosting.
I warm it up.
And the other thing was that everything, no matter what it is, if it runs on electricity, it also will run on a battery. I'm serious. Prior to God bringing us together, that when we were in the plastic fabrication business, he was a master fabricator, and I hired him to come work for me, and he organized all the inventory.
The scrap. Okay,
until you had your own company. And I just didn't know it. And you have these drills, and you put a battery pack on. I mean, today they're commonplace, but back then, it was amazing. I mean, the battery pack was like a 15-pound battery. You know, you put a backpack or something going around. No, but it was amazing. So you can get a battery for everything. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like taking a cord and plugging it into a receptacle to know that you don't have to go, I can't believe this battery's not charged up.
Yeah, right.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, he has not been introduced to the extension cord yet. So everything's on batteries, man. As a matter of fact, you should have a battery car. You and President Obama, you know, he has a new car industry now, runs on what are the batteries, Everready's or something? The Everready car?
I don't know, but, you know, he's very, I think that'll fit you, Pat.
I can see stuck on the road somewhere. Oh, this battery wasn't charged up.
That'd be my luck.
How would that limousine move? That's what I want to know with that battery. I mean, you don't know. Need a super duper battery for that.
He's so far back from the motor, he probably can't even hear it run, so he's probably thinking about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And if you're just joining us, we're continuing our conversation on a prophetic vision that was given to Rick Joyner 25 years ago about the harvest, about souls are going to be coming in the last days. And this has been absolutely wonderful. We encourage you to get the book and read it for yourself. It's in a 25th year anniversary edition that's out now. And coming up in the month of October, Rick Joyner and Morningstar are going to be having what they call Harvest Fest. It's a conference that was basically birthed as a result of this vision. And so once a year they have this Harvest Fest that's totally dedicated to the harvest. And here recently, Rick Joyner sent out some writings correspondence saying that, hey, this year is going to be like no other year, that God's going to be using even those that are coming to be able to share things regarding this harvest that has not even been shared yet. So if you feel that you're a part of that, you know, make sure that you go out and get connected, because it's going to be really, really wonderful. Mm-hmm. But Steve, you're just telling some wonderful things.
Yeah.
Continue to talk to us about the harvest.
Well, you know, we've been talking about previously is the fact that, you know, the coming move of God, the greatness of light, how it's really going to just overwhelm just entire cities, entire regions, stadiums. And at the same time, too, you're going to see darkness increase and whole cities are going to be under the hand of darkness. But in that back and forth battle, he continues on and he's basically talking about the importance of relationships. And he calls it the fishnet. And it's so powerful, too, because you think about it. And it's just like, if you imagine, Jesus did such a wonderful job as far as like helping us understand the kingdom by ministering with simple fishermen. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, okay, you used to be fishers of fish. Now I'm going to teach you to be fishers of men.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And with that, before we get into that section, we were talking in the break about Pat sharing what the Lord showed him in regards to the harvest and what it's going to look like. Man, share us that dream. It was so powerful.
Yeah, it was really powerful. You know, we're in this meeting place, and we're getting ready for the service to begin. And you know, a lot of us were out in the audience, and this real young youth group basically came up to start the worship, and they were all, you know, walks of life, you know, young, you know, the spiky hair dudes, you know,
different backgrounds,
t-shirts, you know, there was not a religious bone up there at the front of us. I mean, it was cool,
beautiful,
and they were getting prepared to start the worship, and as soon as the guy, he was fixing to lead worship, and he strummed his guitar, and he just belted out a lyric. All of a sudden, this rush of God's glory just went across all of us. I mean, it was just like blew you back. I mean, that type of,
wow,
that powerful. And just, I was like collapsed. I mean, I couldn't hardly stand up. I mean, I had to sit down. It was so powerful. And I remember Greg coming up to me, and he said something to me, oh, this is what happened. And the glory guy was just so strong, and I'm saying, he's here, he's here, he's here. I mean, it was just like, this is it. This is the moment we've been waiting for.
Wow.
And then I remember at one point I got up somehow and kind of drug myself over to this one area, and I could look on the other side of the room, and I could see all these people just laid out. You know, I can hear them just cackling and laughing and stuff. And I wanted to get over there. I want to see what was going on.
Yeah. Right, right.
So I look over and I see this shopping cart. And I just kind of threw myself on it, you know, as a prop to get myself over there. So I just kind of slung myself on this shopping cart, kind of rolled myself down there to get to them. And finally, once I got there, I just like fell on the floor with them. And I'm just laid out laughing and laughing under the Spirit, just carrying on.
The joy of the Lord.
It's the joy of the Lord. It was just amazing. Powerful, powerful.
Wow. Very confirming.
God's going to do it, man. That's exciting. And the beautiful thing is like seeing that, and I love what you're saying. It's just like not religion, just people hungry for God, just wanting his presence. And when you think about like what I'm saying in regards to, you know, God ministered with simple fishermen. Mm-hmm. And this is the harvest, and we're bringing in the harvest. And I think about it, and he talks about it, and he says, and it's basically, he has a paragraph basically titled as the fishnet, and he says, this net is formed by the linking together of his people. The strength of this net will be determined by the strength of their inner relationships and the inner communication of his people. The stronger the inner communication and relationships, the stronger the net will be. And what he's talking about is the fact that pastors are going to come with together with pastors, evangelists with evangelists, apostles with apostles. And it's not about denominations. It's like when we get past everything and just say, I'm for Jesus, we need to proclaim the name of Jesus, advance the kingdom. That is when we begin to move in one body, one mind, one spirit. And it's just like the encouragement of just seeing really the body of Christ coming together in such an overwhelming unity that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I've heard it said many times before that it's easier to run with 100
yeah,
than drag one.
One, yeah.
When you've got people walking with you in unity, he talks about it in Psalms 133, is that that's the commanded blessing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How good and pleasing it is when brothers walk together in unity. And it's just like, you know, cry out to God that he would just touch the whole body of Christ, touch the church across the nations to come together in unity, because that's what's going to bring this about.
Another part of that dream, I'm sorry, to just go along with that, was the people that were there in this meeting, it was all ages.
Yeah.
It was all walks of life, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, all races.
Wow.
I mean, from every background you can imagine.
Which is beautiful, because that's, we want to see the glory of God touch everybody. Yeah, everybody needs to get in.
Unity.
All right.
Everybody needs to get in.
Yeah. And what I think is exciting too, but thinking about that, and he highlights the importance of it, it's like what I was saying before, is that we have to be aware of the Holy Spirit. You know, it says that the Holy Spirit's easily grieved, and we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And Rick Joyner writes, he says, if the leaders resist this move, the Lord will continue it through the congregation. This is a move of the Holy Spirit that cannot be stopped. The pastors and the leaders who continue to resist the tide of unity will be removed from their places. He says some who are presently in leadership who resist this move will become so hardened that they will become opposers and persecutors of those who are accomplishing the Lord's purposes. And we've talked about that before, is that those that do the worst damage are those that become those accusatory, critical ones, those with the religious spirit.
All right.
And he says, others will be changed and will repent of their hardness of heart, even though in some cases their resistance to the Holy Spirit will have disqualified them from leadership. And it's just like, you can't neglect the role of the Holy Spirit.
Listen, God's building his church. He's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Mm. This is going to be a defining moment. And the question is, are you going to be a part of it? This is the time to let roots go down deep, get into the Word, abide, get intimate with the Lord. Let God do what he wants to do in your life, because I want to be a part of this harvest. I know you do too.
Yes, amen.
Don't let anything hinder you. Let's see what Jesus is going to do, and let's just swim in the glory and help as many people as possible come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's going to be beautiful, and I'm looking forward to it. I know you are too. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.